that is higher than I. For thou hast been a shelter for me and a strong tower from the enemy. I will abide in thy tabernacle forever. I will trust in the covert of thy wings. For thou, O God, hast heard my vows. Thou hast given me the heritage of those that fear thy name. Thou wilt prolong the king's life and his years as many generations. He shall abide before God forever. O prepare mercy and truth, which may preserve him. So will I sing praise unto thy name forever, that I may daily perform my vows.
It's good to be back home. We enjoyed our time last week at Rome's Creek, but we were ready to be back home, and I promised somebody something this morning. I said, if I come back and preach a short sermon, all will be well. And Miss Kay agreed with that. So it is good to see you, see each one of you. I'm not gonna get on or try to explain what David said. I agree with what David said. Texting, going down the road. It's going to be bad. It's not just young people. I see everybody, a lot of people doing it. Texting, going down the road. It's going to be bad enough if we have to have a funeral because you were texting going down the road. It's going to be even worse if you hit somebody else and kill them, destroy a family, a life. Cell phones is getting out of control. You go out and eat and you look at all the tables. Nobody's talking, everybody's on their phone pushing buttons. I think they're great, they're handy. Me and Jacob got lost, and Jacob Peavehouse got lost. I went to holler, one of y'all get your smartphone, find out where we at when we was working this last week. They're great. But folks, keep phones where they belong. Don't let that phone be your life. Hey, somebody's gonna die driving down the road with a cell phone in your hand. People dying every day because of it. And please, 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 and I'm talking to everybody, you can see a lot when you're up here. Put the phones up. I promise you at 11 o'clock, I guarantee you we'll be done. You know, I don't know how long I'll last today. I don't feel real good today. I'm sitting there questioning whether I'll even come up here today. But please put the phones. You know, ball games is not important. I don't care who wins a ball game today. I don't care if I don't play. And whoever you're texting or whatever you're Facebooking, it'll be there in 30 minutes, I guarantee it. God is number one. I don't even have my cell phone. And I used to bring it in here with me. There's nothing more important than this right here. And I'm going to dedicate myself that I don't have to have it. Somebody looking for me right now, they know where I'm at anyway. They can send a law up here and walk through those doors and say, Tim, we need you. Let's be careful what we put before God. That was a free one. Drinking. Drugs, cussing, fornication, adultery, gays, lesbians, homosexuality, forsaking God, forsaking the assembly, gambling, lying, marriage, divorce, and remarriage, child abuse, sexual predators, rape, child pornography, pornography in general, spouse swapping, fighting, killing, wars, violence of all types. Read an article this last week of a young teenage girl who has had several sexual partners already in her life. She hadn't even graduated from high school yet. It's a pretty good article, or went into great detail. Wasn't a good article, but went into great detail about some things. And when she was asked why, she said, it's not that big of a deal. Not that big of a deal that she has not even graduated high school, obviously not married, has not graduated high school and had several sexual partners in her life already. Almost played it off as though it's just like a kiss. It's like kissing your date good night, goodbye. Played it off as it wasn't that big of a deal. What are we going to do? What are we going to do? I'm like Charlie said in class this morning, I don't even watch the news no more. I've tried. I can't stand it. I can't stand to look at it. So I get worked up and I get tore up because I get to thinking about what all is going on in the world today. Obviously, this is not my normal sermon this morning, and I apologize. I don't mean to offend anybody. Rones Creek asked me Wednesday night, could they put me down for 4 years, and I told them no. They said, we're going to pencil you in. I said, well, pencil me in 3 years to call and ask me whether I'm going to do it. Matthew 1 and verse 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. When we look around the world today, and my family hurts, and I know that your family hurts because things that go on in our families and unfaithfulness and sin and different ways that people live and do and the mistakes that we make, even those that's trying. Jesus is the only hope for the whole world. When we think about everything that's going on around us today and everything that we read about and we see that people are beginning to accept the list that I just got through reading to you a few minutes ago, that list, 99% of it is accepted as normal. Not the child abuse and sexual things like that. That's not accepted. But everything else on that list pretty much is accepted to the point that we say, well, it's okay. And it scares me and it bothers me whenever we do not stop and take a look at our life and say, hey, God is most important in my life, and I'm going to commit to that each and every day of my life. Three things I want you to notice this morning when we think about Jesus. And I'm talking to myself, number one. Because I think that as a Christian, as a person, as someone that, or someone who's trying to get to heaven or cares about their children or cares about their wife or their husband or cares about life, I think we have to look at ourselves from time to time and examine ourselves and say, this is where I need to be. Three things I want you to think about as we think about Jesus as the hope of the world today. You know, only Jesus has the power to take away sin. I say that to say this, we have to be careful not to get in the judgment business. We don't need to stand around and point our fingers and condemn everyone in the whole world or group people to get together and say, these people are wrong or these people are lost. Now, I do believe that we can read the scriptures and we can read the Bible, and I could read to you this morning. I won't this morning, but you could go to the list that Paul has made, and Paul made a list, and some of these items or some of these sins that I started off reading this morning is in that list, and he said these will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, if you believe the Bible and you believe the truth, if you are living in adultery or you're a fornicator, or you're a homosexual, or you're an idolater or a liar, and all the different things that's listed there, if you continue in that sin, if you know that that's sin, and we know that it's sin, even though the world tells us that it's not, if we continue in that sin, Paul says we will not inherit the kingdom of heaven. We won't be in heaven if we live in those sins. The writer of Hebrews makes it pretty clear to me in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 26, if we put in our mind, someone turn there if you want to, but and read that. Verse 26 says, if we sin willfully, if we make up our mind that we're going to continue to live in this sin, we're going to do this no matter what. It says there remains no more sacrifice for your sins. Without sacrifice for our sins, we are lost. Because God will not have anything to do with that which is unclean, and uncleanliness is sin. So we've got to have something that gets sin out of our life, that gets our sin where God will not see it. And the only thing we have there is the blood of Jesus. And Jesus is the only hope for the world, and he's the only one that has the power to take these sins away. And he can and he will take those sins away. But folks, we can't continue to live in sin. The forgiveness is big enough. The grace is big enough. But we cannot continue in sin. Paul said that grace may abound. What did he say about that? God what? God forbid that we continue in sin that grace may abound. It's a commitment on our part, and the hope that we have today is Jesus. The second thing I want to mention is that Jesus is the only one that can take the sins away of the world. Now, I put that point in there, and I want us to talk about it for just a minute, because sometimes we think about ourselves, and it goes back to our judging. It goes back to our finger pointing. The world today needs Jesus. When we think about a Christian life, and we mentioned a few weeks ago, I think, when I preached, we talked about being a light and being an example. I got one of the best compliments this last week at Rowan's Creek. I told Steve or David or Dale or maybe all of them. I don't remember who I told. But an older man that goes to church at Rowan's Creek, he asked me to preach his funeral. And I said, let's don't have that for a long time. And he said, you remember what I told you when you preached here back in the 90s? I said, no, I don't. He said, when you preach, you can tell that you believe what you're preaching. And I said, I really appreciate that. But folks, we all have got to believe and practice what we preach and what we teach. Because Jesus is the one that the world needs. When we believe something so much, we've got to tell the world about it. We need to be living a life. We need to be sharing the gospel. We need to be that example. And we need to find opportunities to tell our neighbors and our friends about Jesus. We are in a critical time. And the only hope that anyone has is Jesus. 1 John 4 and verse 10 says, herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Then back one chapter in chapter 3 and verse 5, and it says, and you know that he was manifested to take away our sins, and in him is no sin. And then third and finally this morning, when we think about Jesus being the hope of the world. He is the only one that is in the right relationship with God. John 17, starting with verse 20, it says, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may be one as thy Father art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me, and that the glory which thou gavest me I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved me, and thou hast loved me." Then you jump back to verse 1, and starting with this chapter, it says, "These words spake Jesus, and lifted up his eyes to heaven, and said, Father, the hour is come, glorify thy Son, that thy Son may also glorify thee. And thou hast given him power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life, listen, to as many as thou hast given him. And this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent." He is the only one that can reconcile us with God. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Well, I started by asking a question. What are we to do as Christians? Well, number one, we have to live a life that is godly. And number two, we need to pray. We need to pray for those who are lost.